Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Jones! Bowden! He's got it! England have won the World Cup by the barest of margins!
Stokes flashes it away through the covers for four, and England have won the match!
Hello, welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket. 3 days now have gone of the Rawalpindi Test match, the first Test match between Pakistan and England, and 10 wickets fell in the first 2 days. Now seven have fallen on the third. So, Simon Mann, you were saying only the other day that although the pitch is a batsman's paradise, it only takes 20 or 30 balls, or well, I suppose in the case of a match which goes right to the end, 40 balls, to take all the wickets and get a result. So just a hint of the way England played, the way England handled that last session, that there could be a positive result.
Yeah, it's come back into view again. I still think the draw is favourite and probably quite a big favourite, because on that surface you'd back Pakistan to bat out the last day, most of the last day, whatever England set them. I mean, it very much depends on how many Pakistan get in the morning, how much they can extend their first innings by. But England have got an opportunity now. The lead is still 158. Pakistan have 3 wickets remaining. Their tail is quite thin in this game. Nasim Shah coming in at number 8. I mean, England would be, you know, relishing that. Seeing him come in, he frittered his wicket away before the close of play. Excellent catch from Jack Leach. It really was a really fine catch. England just stuck at it. They tried everything. They stayed patient. Remember Duncan Fletcher on the World's Best Cricket Club, and he gave us his time. What do you need in Pakistan? The first word he used was patience. And England have been out there for 136 overs. But there is an opportunity. You can see how the game could pan out from here. An extra 15 minutes at the start of the play on the fourth day as well, starting at 9:45 local time. So there is still time. You're battling it a little bit against the pitch and time, but there is an opening now for England.
Mm. I like the way England approached it today, I must say. I think that it's very tempting. This is a bowler's graveyard, really. And it's very tempting as a bowler to sort of try and avoid the captain and not really want to get involved and kind of do your bit, kind of almost go through the motions, really, but hide away and hope the spinners can sort of winkle them out somehow. But actually, I thought England, personified by Anderson, who is remarkable in his appetite for punishment, really, and trying to find some rewards from a thankless surface or a completely benign surface. The credit that England, I think, should deserve is just trying things, you know, imaginative field settings, moving the men just this way and that, and having at times almost sort of village or even schoolboy type fields, but just trying to make the batsman do something. And just trying to seeking small gains, which in conditions like this, actually a small gain can be quite a big piece of satisfaction. And I just thought England really went for it in the most purposeful, positive way. They tried to see the fun in a pretty grim overall scenario. And in the end, they got their rewards.
Yes, it's really weird, isn't it? You get to the end of a day's play and the score is basically 500 for seven. And you think you've had a really good day. And that's because the pitch is a hard taskmaster. And Pakistan have got some quality players in that top order. And it, of course, England managed to get 650 runs on the board. But you normally say 507. Oh, that's not a great day, is it? But when you think they were 181 for no wicket at the start of the day's play, when you consider Pakistan put on 225 for the first wicket, you know, on this surface, you accept 500 for seven, I think. But, you know, because you've got 2 days left, because you've got a big lead, because you can hopefully, you know, from England's perspective, knock out the tail. And then, clearly, England are going to go for it, aren't they? Joe Root spoke to me afterwards. He said, yeah, we're going to go for it. This is the way this team plays. We'll try and pile up a decent total and then have a go at Pakistan on the final day. I mean, whether they can have a go at Pakistan before the final day, I suppose it depends, you know, how many they can take those last wickets for in the morning. It's still not easy to winkle people out. If you don't want to get out, it's not easy to get players out. I mean, most of the wickets in this match have fallen to players, you know, playing positive shots and then making a mistake. You know, Barber, for example, cutting at Will Jacks, and Jack Leach taking the catch at backward point. You know, it was the aggressive shot. Shafiq cutting at Jacks and being caught behind by Pope. There haven't been many wickets in this match where a bowler's come up and got a player out. I suppose you could say Leach getting Azhar out was one of those where he just pinned him on the back foot. You know, that was the bowler making, you know, sort of making something happen. A bit of batsman error as well. And Shaquille had Shaquille was caught behind having a go at Robinson. You do need the batters to be complicit if you want to stick in. It's not easy getting someone out.
Must say another huge clap to Babar Azam. What a player he is, because he came in, and it wasn't a crisis. Obviously, it was 200 odd for two, but he came in and he just looked at ease straight away, and he just makes run scoring look so graceful and so enjoyable. He's just such a clean striker with the ball and a beautifully easy mover. He glides around the crease, and it's just beautiful to watch. It must be, you know, the mentality of being able to bat. The number of times he's had to come in when the other team have scored 500 or 600 and you're having to kind of create a rear guard, and it doesn't seem to flummox him at all. He's got this incredible composure in any situation, in any format. Remarkable. I guess you just get born with something like that. I mean, I often used to ask Alistair Cook about his countenance at the crease and where it came from. And he just sort of said, well, I had it naturally, really. Just some people have this ability to get into this bubble. I mean, Joe Root's another one, isn't he? They just managed to get into this sort of, I don't know, it's like a sort of encasement, a cave of their own. And almost like everything else outside it is irrelevant. They just can do it, everything at their own tempo, and nothing seems to affect them.
I must say, with Barber today, I just thought he was nailed on for 100. I mean, I did say it on the radio. I just sort of punted out there at lunchtime saying, you know, he was about 30, not out. I said, is there anything more inevitable than a Barber 100? I mean, that was, you know, it's a ridiculous thing to say in a way. He still needs 70 more runs to win. But he did look so much in control, so untroubled by England's attack on that surface. You just thought, you know, there's an inevitability about it. And actually, it was a surprise when he got out, because you thought not only was he on for 100, he looked good for 200, and he chopped it. Jackson and Leach took the catch, and that was the wicket that just opened the way for England and gave them some belief as well, and they picked up two more wickets before the close of play. Yeah, I mean, the crowd came to watch him today. There was when the second wicket fell, there was a sort of a cheer from the crowd. You think, hold on a second, you know, why are you cheering a Pakistan wicket? But of course, you know, it's the same thing with when Kohli comes out to bat. It's the anticipation of Babar Azam walking out to the middle. It seems a bit tough on the bat who's, you know, who's just got out. I mean, that was Imam actually for 121. So, you know, there was some applause for him, but there was also that sense of anticipation that, oh, Barber's next. You know, it's Saturday, big crowd in, and it was the biggest crowd of the match today. Enthusiastic Pakistan support, and you know, they would have gone home pretty happy, I think, having seen a decent day's test cricket. Runs for Pakistan, but also a contest, which we didn't really have on the first day at all. It was all one-sided and Pakistan were just blown away. But today was a real contest, good, tough, hard-fought test match cricket. And Pakistan, you know, they dealt out some blows and England were able to deal some blows out towards the end and just take a grip of the game.
I think watching Babar bat must be a bit like, if you're a Pakistani fan especially, it must be a bit like watching a real grand master creating a painting, because there's these beautiful brush strokes all the time in all sides of the wicket and colourful style. It's like watching it is like watching an artist at work, I suppose, without wanting to sound pretentious, a sort of Renoir or a Monet or something, rather than rather than a Kevin Peterson Picasso. I only mentioned that partly because I remember once doing some drawing on the screen during the Channel 4 years, and it was on a Sunday during a sort of rather dead period of play, and I was trying to illustrate something by drawing on the screen in my analyst position, and the pen for the telestrator got stuck. So all this drawing went all over the screen, like it was like sort of a child's scribble. It looked awful. And as I handed back to Richie Beno, I said, back to Richie, and I apologise for my drawing today. And Richie said, you know, in his inimitable way, well, don't worry, Simon, that was a fascinating piece of analysis. And Picasso used to struggle sometimes on Sundays. So I suppose I had to bring Picasso into this conversation. But I mean, Baba, absolutely magnificent. And as you say, ridiculously, he looked furious when he was out for 136. No, I mean, he was looking at, you know, probably 300 in fact, because it had that written all over it. And just credit to England for, you know, sticking at it, and you know, a couple of new bowlers we haven't seen before. Well, certainly Will Jacks anyway. Thought he did pretty well, actually, to keep going and picked up 3 wickets in the end.
Yeah, he did. Just go back to the Babar for a moment before we talk about Will Jacks. Do you think actually it was just a bit too easy for him on this surface? That actually it would be better to have a tougher challenge for him? I mean, we've talked about the ease of the pitch. I mean, the point I'm making, I think, is that, you know, on a pitch like this, 100 for Babar Azam just feels, you know, what he should score. I know that sounds sort of slightly ridiculous, but he's such a good player and the conditions are so benign, and it does look for such a long way out that he was going to score 100. Actually, do you want players like that just to be tested a little bit more, almost to show off their skills?
Well, I think also that players get more satisfaction when the conditions are not in their favour. You know, there's pressure, isn't there, when you've got to go out and make runs on a pitch which is just printed for runs. It just runs for the taking there. So in a way, it isn't as satisfying to hit, thread the ball through for boundaries on that track. And look at the scores, both sides top sixes. The lowest score in those 12 batsmen is Joe Root's 23. There've been 700s in the game. 8 is the world record, as our great friend, the statistician from the World's Best Cricket Club, Pushkar, told us yesterday. 2 different occasions when 800s were scored in a test match, one at St John's in Antigua and the other one in Colombo. So you just don't get the same satisfaction from scoring runs in these circumstances, whereas, of course, for bowlers, you do. You get enormous satisfaction from just a couple of wickets.
Yeah, definitely. And you could see the delight for Will Jacks today. That first wicket, of course, your first test wicket, is a great moment. And, you know, he was trying something as well. He was bowling wide of off stump, getting Shafiq to play away from his body. And he went for the cut shot on this occasion and poked at the catch behind the stumps. And then, you know, there were wickets late on as well. The last one where he tempted Nasim to go down the ground. I don't think he takes a lot of tempting Nasim. He likes to play his shots. He's a bit of a block bash merchant in at number 8, and the other, you know, to get rid of Babar. I mean, what a great day that is. To, okay, Barber, this man who was looking total control, and Will Jacks managed to find a mistake from the from a great player, and Jack Leach took another catch, and Barber out for 136. It's not a bad day, is it? For not a bad test debut for Jacks. I mean, his figures are 3 for 132 from 33 overs, but it is that sort of surface. What did you make of him? I mean, what's your impression of him? I mean, he is a sort of, you know, a youngish off spinner. He hasn't bowled that much in first class cricket. They, you know, they're sort of turning him in, aren't they, into an off spinner. You know, he's primarily a batter and a belligerent and attacking player. You know, devastating in white ball cricket. But what did you make of his bowling?
I thought a lot of Moeen Ali when I was watching him, actually. Not because he bowls like Moeen Ali, but because he's obviously got natural ability as an off spinner. And Moeen was someone who really was a batsman, who was made into a bowler because, or made into an all-rounder because of his natural skills as a bowler. The fact that he had a nice fluent action, he had a natural ability to turn the ball, he obviously was quite consistent. And you want to see the raw material of the action first. And Will Jacks has got a good action. I as I've probably said too many times, his bowling arm is slightly beyond the vertical, and that just inhibits the ability to get the ball to curve away. Dom Bess suffers from that even more, which is why he's had trouble really taxing the best players in Test cricket. But his arm is okay. It's not too far beyond the vertical, and he's getting enough height from his delivery. He's got a nice high action. He stands tall. Some spinners you'll see, I mean, for example, Matt Parkinson, the leg spinner who played a little bit in the one-day series in the summer, he collapses at the crease, so he bowls from a very low position. Whereas Jacks, you feel, bowls on top of his front leg. His leg is fairly taut as he lets go of it. That means he's getting a bit of bounce and possibly a bit of overspin as well. And he definitely gets bounce because of his high action, which gives him a slight advantage over Jack Leach, actually. At the moment, I think he's a little bit on the slow side and he needs to work on being able to visit through a little quicker. It'd be worth studying someone like Ravi Ashwin for how he varies his pace a bit more. But the other thing I really liked about him was he's prepared to bowl outside off stump, and that's something that Moeen also does. Going for sort of both sides, if you like, attacking both edges of the bat, not only trying to turn the ball back towards the stumps to a right-hander, but also using that angle to possibly beat the outside edge. And he did a couple of times, and he got two wickets on the offside, one caught behind Abdullah Shafiq, and one, as you say, Babar Azam called at backward point. That's by virtue of that line he was bowling just outside off stump. It's the kind of line that Shane Warne always campaigned for Nathan Lyon to bowl. And he said, aim at the wicketkeeper's right foot to the right-handers and draw the batsman out of his comfort zone rather than just allowing him to sort of constantly work the ball off the stumps through the leg side. Nathan Lyon doesn't still do that quite enough, but I think Jacks could. So there's a lot of good things to work with there, only a very raw version at the moment and not much credibility in first-class cricket, but it's something to work with, definitely. And of course, if he can score 26 ball hundreds in practice matches or T20, then he's going to have some quite useful assets to work with.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing to have in your locker, that, is it? And you know, if he can work on his bowling, then it makes him a huge asset. He came into this series having taken 21 first class wickets, and you know, it's only really this season that he's been sort of pushed to the fore as an off spinner, and sort of made him take responsibility and bowl some off spinning overs. Jack Leach is England's main spinner, 42 overs, 5 maidens, 2 for 160, going at that 3.81 runs per over, picked up a couple of wickets. Imam really, I mean, holding out towards long on, a bit frustrated with himself. I spoke to him afterwards. And the other wicket for Leach today, well, was that it was the wicket that, you know, he sort of won as a bowler, didn't he? Just getting one to just straighten a fraction, pinning Azhar Ali out for 27. You know, not a bad wicket to get.
No, and given the new ball as well, which was the second new ball, yeah, which was a good idea by England. Stokes, I think, had a fabulous day as captain, just changing the bowling round, changing the field settings, trying to tantalise and tease the batsman to make mistakes. I think he's just got so much imagination. He's not going to always get it right. There will be certain things he does wrong, but in the main, he's trying. And he's actually, I think also the important thing about Stokes is he's always smiling. Even when the batsman tongs it over the top for six, you know, with the field kept in, trying to tempt him to do it again, he's enjoying the challenge and obviously relishing the fun of, you know, captaining this team. And I just love the way his reaction when a wicket falls late in the day, like the catch he took off Jimmy Anderson to get rid of the Mohammad Rizwan, you know, dangerous player. Yeah. Anderson going round the wicket, trying new tricks, teaching an old dog new tricks, trying round the wicket in swingers, and Mohammad Rizwan just clipping it to short mid wicket, slightly in the air. Stokes takes the catch, throws it up as if he's won the World Cup. I mean, fantastic enthusiasm. Really late on in the day. Leach, I think, is improving. You know, he's not a brilliant left-arm spinner, but he's never going to let anybody down. And I like the way that now he's prepared to go round and over the wicket and try different angles. He's happy to keep his men in, even if he gets hit over the top, to try and tempt the batsman into doing it again. He's happy to, willing to take the second new ball, which is obviously unconventional for a spinner. So, you know, he's never going to run through a side unless it's an absolute Bunsen burner, but he's a steady Eddie.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Now, Yoz, just talking about England's creativity and Jack Leach, you've got a balding pate, haven't you? And I'm sort of going that way as well. What would you say if one of your players, I don't know, Tuffers or something like that, or I don't, it wouldn't be Mike Brearley, exactly. Well, although Mike Brearley used to think out of the box, didn't he? Came up with the ball and rubbed it on your bald head, your sweaty bald head, to, you know, try to, you know, work on the ball, which is what they did today. You're allowed to use sweat on the ball, but you're not allowed to use saliva. Would you have been a willing victim? As, you know, the clips are out there on social media. What would you have done if that had happened to you?
Well, usually the people who were doing it would be much bigger than me, so I wouldn't be able to say anything. But actually, I used to do it myself. So it's the best way of getting shine on the ball. You know, you don't want to get
bald
it
head?
From... Definitely, because it is the sweatiest bit, apart from your armpits. And if you do use your armpits, then the ball stinks. So it's much better to use your forehead. And there's a lot of sweat there to work with, in my case and Jack Leach's case. So it was great. I never understood the saliva thing, actually. I've hardly ever used saliva to shine the ball, because sweat is much more useful, much better.
So actually,
well done to England. A great idea.
Joe Root, who was talking about afterwards. Yeah, he said, you know, well, there's plenty of sweat there. He said, why not use it? And I suppose it was a funny moment in the day, and it was picked up by all the cameras, and you know, it's been picked up on social media. But I suppose it's just one very small aspect of England's creativity. I agree with you. Stokes was he must be absolutely shattered tonight, because his mind was ticking all day, and he was making constant changes. And the other thing as well, I think when you're making constant changes, you need the fielders to be alert, don't you? Need them to be looking at the captain, you know, come here, come there, you know, move in a bit, go out a bit, just change your position a bit. And that was going on throughout the day, and it was a really noticeable aspect of England's tactics. I think, you know, they knew, didn't they, when they came out here, you cannot be conventional. You're going to have to do different things to try to get wickets. And you know, there were times you were saying, why bother with a slip and a gully? You know, there has not been a a slip catch in the match so far. That has not been a gully catch in the match so far. But you know what there has been are players playing miscuing attacking shots. So you know exactly at last there was a wicket, you know, short mid wicket, and that Stokes catch that you mentioned to get rid of Rizwan. So yeah, it's a pitch for not quite out of the box thinking, but for just trying so much. Because if you just stick in conventional pattern, you won't get anything out. You won't force the batter to do something different.
In fact, one more little thing about Stokes is they could have gone off for bad light earlier than they did if he kept the seamers going. Mm. And, you know, when you've been out there for 70-odd overs and it's been pretty hard going, the bowlers would be, can we get off, you know. But rather than take that easy option, he kept the spinner on at both ends, so they had another couple of overs, and it picked up another wicket, that slog into the leg side. So, again, it's just seeing the positive in everything and trying to be as imaginative as possible has worked brilliantly for England. Now, we've got to just... Well, go on. You've got one more point to make about the game?
Well, I was going to say, there were 85 overs today, actually, so we had the longest day in terms of playing... time today. We will get the extra quarter of an hour tomorrow, so you know there's time left in the match. They came off just a bit later today. It was a much clearer day, but you know, what we find, I think, is if there's a bit of haze around, then you're going to come off earlier for bad light. So what we should do, Yoz, before your next point is just look at the last 2 days and some of the potential scenarios for where this game could go. I said that Pakistan are 158 behind. They've got 3 wickets left. Not much to come, really, but it's not easy to prize players out. Joe Root saying England will be positive. So how do England approach it? What are some of the equations we're looking at? I mean, if I offered you Pakistan's last 3 wickets for 60, would you take that?
So a lead of 100.
So lead of 100, say before lunch, and then just put
they'd
the
have
foot
to get down. Put the foot down. They'd have to get 250 in 40 overs, something like that, which would leave you what, 30 overs in the day, maybe.
Probably not as much
as that.
Might not
be as much
as that.
25 to 30 overs. Mm. I mean, they're going to need 125 overs to take the 10 wickets, aren't they? You would have thought so. Or at least over 100 overs anyway. Mm. So they need to leave themselves 100 overs, which means they need to get in the field again with a minimum of 20 overs left, 25 overs left in the day tomorrow. Mm. So that means, declaring, if they could get 250 off 40 overs, which of course they could, we know that, then that probably would be ideal. They'd probably try and get it in less, I guess. So, yeah, it's possible. The difficulty will be bowling Pakistan out second time, for sure, because it doesn't look like the pitch is going to break up.
No, so okay, so what about, would you leave, I mean, I was talking to Vic about this evening, would you leave 350 off 100 overs?
Yeah,
or is that,
absolutely.
You think,
why not?
Well, do you think Pakistan might just knock those off?
I don't actually think they would knock them off easily, no. They don't have the same, I think, actually... The best way of taking wickets, as you pointed out yourself, is to encourage the batsman to be positive. Mm. So that's the only way you're going to get people out. If you want to try and bowl people out conventionally, it's not going to work. So you've got to try and get them taking risks and being positive. So to actually dangle the carrot of a victory, 350 and 100 overs, is probably the best way that England could also win.
Yeah. So how did Pakistan approach it in the morning then? Do they... really try to
get as many as they can.
I know get as many as you can, but do they say, right, we're just going to be ultra defensive, we're just going to take time out of the game? I know you look to score a bit, knock the ball around. Are they looking to really take time out of the game? Do they sense the danger, do you think, in this test match of having to bat the whole of the last day to save the game, or are they thinking, well, this England side is quite aggressive, they might actually just give us a little peep at victory ourselves?
Yeah, I think you've just got to play your natural game for the Pakistan lower order. Pick up as many as they can. If they get 60 runs, that's a bonus, I think, really, with the quality of the last 3. So I think that's the limit of their expectations, really. And if they can take an hour doing that, then it gives both sides a possible chance of victory. It's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or more exciting than it looked 2 days ago anyway.
Yeah, I agree. The
so,
game on,
so
isn't
tell
it?
Us, so tell us about your, tell us quickly about your evening then. Come on. You went to the British High Commission. Any darts or any snooker?
Well, I didn't play snooker, but there was some snooker on offer. We had sort of drinks and there were pizza and various, other bits of food. I'm not quite sure what some of it was, but it was mainly sort of pizza and drinks evening. It was very relaxed, very very sociable. There was darts.
Any chicken?
Well, I think the chicken was on some of the pizzas, but fortunately, I didn't have to eat the chicken. So I think there was a bit of chicken knocking around, but the good thing was it hadn't been mixed in with the vegetable pizzas or the vegetarian pizzas. That was the big bonus of the night. The football was on. I actually ended up speaking a lot about television cricket coverage on the television, actually, with Simon Wheeler, who you will know. He's a TV director. He's the TV director out here. And so we had a chance to talk about TV commentary and trying to display the game, portray the game on television. So, he was talking about lots of, he was talking about, some of the commentators and what he looks for in a commentator. I wasn't trying to get a job with him or anything like that. We were just talking shop, really. So that was an interesting aspect of the evening. So, you go to a social occasion, but actually you end up talking about your job, don't you? Did you work with Simon?
Actually, I have. He was at IMG a long time ago. He gave me quite a few ideas, actually. If you're looking at the coverage, he cuts away to the tea interval and things like that quite a bit, doesn't he? Which is obviously part of the commercial arrangements for the coverage. Sky's commentary has been pretty good. Actually, there was a very interesting passage today listening to Waka Yunis talking about reverse swing with Michael Atherton and actually saying the same things as I said on the podcast yesterday, that you need to drop your hand slightly to get the best results for reverse swing. You don't need your hand right bolt upright. You need to actually almost create a slightly slingy type of action. And what Wacker also said, which I thought was interesting, was you go closer to the stumps as a right arm bowler and almost try and sling it outside the off stump so that it starts to curve away from the right handed batsman and then ducks in at the last moment. And that's what makes the slingier reverse swing bowlers like him, like Sean Tate, like Mitchell Starc, even more effective.
Yeah. Just on the sort of technical side of commentating on TV, one observation I have, and having done it a bit, I did some of the BT coverage in Australia and also the BBC highlights, is the monitor, which Simon says, for a commentator, you always got to be watching the monitor. That's your main focus, rather than look up and see what's happening on the field. That's when there's a run-out chance or when the ball goes out into the deep. But I think one thing that happens on the monitors are quite small in commentary boxes, and everyone at home is watching on a big, these days, generally speaking, is watching on a big HD screen. And actually, you almost get a better view at home. This seems really perverse, but you almost get a better view at home of the cricket than you do watching on a little monitor in the commentary box. I know you've got the big canvas.
Well, listen, no, you're absolutely right. And we've always complained as commentators about the standard of the monitors because they're cheap and rubbish. And you can hardly see the picture half the time because the sun's glaring in through the window. And they definitely aren't high definition screens or wide enough or big enough. So that's a totally valid criticism. It's stupid, really, because the commentators should be seeing the best pictures that you can get. Otherwise, they don't know what the viewer at home is seeing, do they, really?
Yeah, it's a weird thing. It might surprise listeners, actually, to think, actually, that you've probably got a better view watching your HD screen at home in your lounge or whatever, up on the wall, whatever people have got. Not everyone will have a big HD screen, but some people will, to watch the cricket, and you get a fabulous view, don't you? I think it's more for things like LBWs. Is it in line? Is it just outside the line? Those sort of things. I think when you're watching at home, you can almost make an instantaneous decision. When you're at the ground, fudge it a bit, don't you, as a commentator? You say that's close, whereas I think at home you go that's out, that's not out. It's just an interesting observation, something I found doing some TV commentary. You might actually be better off sitting in your front room doing it. Anyway, Yoz, okay, so 3 days have gone. Final question to you. What percentage chance do you think of a positive result in this game? Are you still big on the draw, or do you think there's an opening for I mean, more for England probably than Pakistan, but actually if England are prepared to gamble, Brendan McCullum said, you know, we're prepared to lose, to try to win. You know, perhaps there is an opening for Pakistan as well. How do you see it?
I think that the most likely result, the most likely end product, is Pakistan 280 for 6 at the end of the game. So a 25% chance of a positive result and a 75% likelihood of a draw.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, I think something similar. I think there is a chance, but I think I still, you know, I still want to be on the draw, really. I think I don't want it to be a draw. I don't want to have an exciting finish to the game. I mean, I think the one point is that it looked like being quite a sort of attritional game, and now that you can see possibilities, and I think that just makes it more interesting for everybody watching, listening, turning up at the ground, playing as well, probably. You've got something to really fight for in the last 2 days of the match.
Well, we'll know in 24 hours' time, and we'll speak to you then. Thanks for listening.
Sports Social Podcast Network.